It's time for Sweet Home Cannabama, a show that'll answer all your questions, provide accurate information, and dispel the myths of CBD. You can participate and have your specific questions answered by emailing sweethomecannabama.com. And now for all things cannabis in Alabama, here's your host, Jennifer Boozer.
Welcome to the show, everybody. I am Jennifer Boozer. I am your host tonight on Sweet Home Cannabama. I am the owner and founder of Cannabama the CBD Store here in Mobile, Alabama. We are located at 558 St. Francis Street in downtown Mobile, and you should come down and see us. The weather has been so hot. I'll tell y'all about my Saturday in just a minute. Anyway, if you have any questions, want to talk to us, want to schedule some time with me, our phone number at the store is 251-255-5155, and you can also shop online, read about us, learn about us, see us, and even hear a song. I have my own song, y'all. It's pretty stinking cool. Anyway, that's on our website at cannabama.com, cannabama.com, not cannabanana. I hang up on people as soon as they say that, and then give them a chance to put their big boy pants on and call me back. I just go click, show some respect. Anyway, who would use cannabanana? Give me a break. Anyway, no, it happens way more than I would even like to admit. So, is this can of banana? Nope. Wrong number. Anyway, you can find us on cannabama.com, but of course, we always want to see your face. So, tonight, if you would like to text a question or call in, the number here at the station is 251-343-0106. That's 251-343-0106. Be nice. Y'all don't distract me with your ugliness. It's happened a couple times. I'm not in the mood today. no, I'm actually in a great mood. Anyway, so Saturday, you remember the guys that we had on about the prayer march?
Yeah.
When Daniel texted in? And then the Camp Remain. So they had, Alexis Bell, my friend, and Janita Williams, they had their beer fest. And so we were a vendor. And it was from noon to four on Wilson Avenue and on asphalt. I think, I'm fairly certain, and from what everybody who knows about it, except for maybe a doctor, because we don't want to talk to them if we don't have to. I think I had a mild case of heat stroke. I stopped sweating. I was burnt up, beet red. I was nauseous. I was wobbly on my feet. And I had a massive headache. And then in the next morning, I woke up and it looks terrible. I have like this petechial hemorrhaging in my eye. And it looks crazy. It's just like half my eyeball is bloody, and it's kind of, I don't know, it's creepy looking. Anyway, I'm okay now, though, y'all. Don't worry. Don't worry, Daniel. I'm fit for battle. Anyway, so I told my friend Belle, I said, if you ever do this again at noon in August on asphalt, I ain't coming. Forget that. I left half an hour early. I had to. I was like, peace out. My gummies are melting. My nerd ropes are melting. I don't even want to bring the chocolate out. I got to go. No, but it was a good cause, and it was a great time until I started feeling sick. But I networked my face off. I'm actually going to do another podcast, and I got a pop-up. And what else? A vending machine. I'm going to be servicing a vending machine with products. So anybody out there who would like to have a vending machine with CBD products and want to make sure you got good stuff, give us a holler. Again, that number is 251-255-5155. Anyway, tonight we're going to kind of have to talk about a serious issue. I know that the majority of our listeners are consumers or potential consumers, but I do know that I have some friends around the country that listen in and people that farm and things like that, some advocacy groups that are very supportive. So, but what I want to do is talk to someone, and instead of being, we're just going to be a little bit protective tonight because we want to make sure that we are being factual and then protecting ourselves. So, but we're going to talk about a tough issue, and that is sort of the, because we're unregulated as an industry, there is a lot of corruption and a lot of fraud. So tonight we're going to be talking to Zach. Zach is from Southwest Oklahoma. And Zach, welcome to the show.
Hi, Jennifer.
Hi. We purposefully are not saying Zach's last name because we don't want him. Well, we don't want Daniel to call him. Anyway, we have a heckler on the show sometimes. Anyway, welcome to the show, Zach. How are you?
Good.
All right. Well, can you speak up a little bit? I'm having a hard time hearing you. Okay. So tell us a little bit about yourself, you know, like what you do in general and how you got into the industry.
I'm an independent geneticist in cannabis.
We got
into the industry like 16 years ago because my older cousin Brad was growing it on creek beds, doing horrible, and I wanted to help. And it just turned into a lifelong passion.
Okay. So you are like the very first part of the cannabis industry is surrounded by the genetics that go into the plants themselves. So before you even put a seed in the ground, there's genetic engineering that goes on and creating new strains, things like that. Is that what you do?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, great.
I'm
sorry?
Yes, ma'am. I fiddle with stuff that's already in existence, and we go back and forth with males and females to try to find predominant traits and phenos that we're after to stabilize.
Right. Okay. When I was in third grade, this is so random, but I wanted to be a genetic engineer when I was in third grade, when I was 8 years old, until I got to high school biology, and I was like, yep, nope, I'm good. I like to write. I like words, math and science. Ooh, not my bag. I understand it, but it would drive me absolutely batty because I'm not an organized thinker, obviously.
You have to keep up with the data. You have to keep up with your mistakes and your successes, you know, and retest. And it can take 2 years before we actually stabilize something, before we start moving into two or three growth cycles to make sure what we're releasing is worthy of my name.
Right, so you grow it and keep it on the DL for a couple times, right?
Oh, absolutely. We turn it into finished products. We don't release the final smokable product. It all goes into pens and carts, topicals. It's just the data I'm after.
Right, okay. And then all the rest of it, that's just the benefit. That's just somebody else gets to have fun with that, but you are into the nuts and bolts of the, like, cellular level science.
Well, in the cellular level goes to tissue culture. You know, we're not cellular. I wouldn't say cellular. You know, the phenotypic genetics is all we're getting into. Once you go past that into the cellular level, you would have to get into tissue culture.
Okay. I've never even heard that term, tissue culture. I don't know what that means.
Huge in agriculture for fruits. It's you take the tissue from the live plant and you can store it in a hibernation, and any time that the farm wants to produce 10 million of one plant, it's a genetic copy. It's guaranteed.
Wow.
It's going to look the same every time. We're looking at it and kicking the tires on it for cannabis, but for scale, it just not really my bag right now.
Right. Okay, so you are mixing different strains together, right? Is that right?
Yeah.
Please pardon how many times I say something dumb. I don't normally find myself this out of the loop on things, but it's fascinating to me because this is it's directly related to what I do on the very opposite end. I'm boots on the ground with the consumer, and you are where we start.
Well, you know, when we, you know, I have the fortunate of being from hemp also. So a lot of my research right now is one-to-one, CBD to THC. We're really working on some stuff for the veteran community for when it does go recreational.
Right. Well, I've always been, I've done a lot of reading on one-to-one products and the different ratios, and I would love to be able to offer that to my customers. Alabama just passed a medical bill a couple months ago, and it's in the very beginning stages, and we're looking at 23 probably before we have any products to sell. But it's very exciting because being able to utilize every part of the plant in any proportion that the customer needs, the patient needs, you know, that's the end goal because everyone's different and their needs are different.
Well, it's, we all have an endocannabinoid system. You know,
that's
all the
right.
Way, everything, the dogs, cats, all the way down to sea sponges have an endocannabinoid system. We are all naturally wired for cannabis.
Right.
Cannabinoids, not just cannabinoids.
Right. And my listeners are very well versed on the endocannabinoid system, but it never hurts to repeat it as much as possible. We're going to go to a break right now, Zach, but when we come back, we're going to pick up with this and we're going to talk more about what you do and what you are concerned about. Join us back in a minute after the break.
Yes, ma'am.
Welcome back to Sweet Home Cannabama. Now with all the information you want about CBD, here's your host, Jennifer Boozer.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. I have a quick question from the text line from Dave from Gulf Shores. His question is, Florida doesn't have any better CBD products than Alabama right now, do they? I'd love to know what you mean by better. And I'm not sure what products are available in Florida, but I know that any CBD product that's legal is available in all 50 states. I do know that I get told all the time that I should open a store in Florida or several because in Florida you have medical dispensaries and you have smoke shops and that's it. There, no one has CBD stores like Cannabama. Well, no one has a store like Cannabama except for Cannabama. But, you know, there aren't a lot of CBD-only retailers in Florida because they have medical. And then I guess people, you know, people erroneously assume that medical is better and that there's no need. But that is very, very wrong. Anyway, I know that Florida, you know, most people are going to smoke shops. I do know if you're in Gulf Shores, there's some stores there. Mobile's just an hour away, hon, and we ship. if you want to clarify, email me, cannabama@yahoo.com, and we can talk about it. I would love to talk about it. Anyway, so back to Zach. So, Zach, you are working on strains for vets. Tell us about that, because we talk about veterans' issues a whole lot on the show.
Okay, so, you know, Cannatonic and the lower THC, higher CBDs. It's a one-to-one. You know, mm-hmm. A lot of strains have them. And there's some from the catalogs that are 100% indica and 100% sativa from 30 years ago. We work with some reputable High Times Hall of Famers to source our seeds and genetics. So we're actually pilfering through the stuff that was cool before I was born.
Yeah.
It's lower in THC, but the terpenes are higher. We're looking at crossing some really high CBG and THC and CBD and THC.
Yeah. Okay. Now, why are they specifically for vets, though?
Well, it's just my choice. It could be for anybody, but
I should have said, why do you have vets in mind specifically? Are these strains better for things like PTSD or mental health? I mean,
yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
A full spectrum with the CBD, like Cannatonic and Harlequin, you know, they are known to help with PTSD and sleep and appetite. A lot of vets are either indica or sativa tolerant.
Right.
So we have 100%, you know, one or the other.
Yeah.
The reason we're working with vets is I lost a buddy that was a vet, and I didn't understand what was going on at the time. And now I really put a lot of effort into helping vets.
Yes. Well, we do a whole month of Veterans Awareness, and instead of having Veterans Day, we have Veterans Month in November. But usually the first Monday in November is Veterans Day or somewhere around there. And so we're here on Monday night. So we start off the whole month with vets issues, and we talk about PTSD, and we talk about suicide, and we talk about pain, and we talk about medications, and we talk about CTE and all sorts of things that affect our veterans, especially when they're coming back from these traumatic situations or maybe were injured. So that is an issue that's very close to my heart because I come from a military family.
The reason it's vets is we're working out the SOPs and how to grow them in different medias for when it does go recreational. All they have to do is reach out, and we'll look at their state laws and how many plants they're allowed to have, and we'll send them free seeds.
Yeah.
Put them on an email list, you know, and when we do need new seed drops, I'll send free seed drops to them just for free meds. You know, not
right.
Some of it's high tea, but a lot of it's one-to-ones and one-to-one-to-one.
Mm-hmm. That's really cool that y'all give them the seeds for free. And do they have a place that they can kind of reference to know how to take care of the plants?
That'll be on the back of the seed pack. It'll be a QR code that you can just scan with your phone, and it'll be able to, you can pull it up, and it's like from planting the seed to flushing to harvesting.
Wow.
And then, you know, we'll have a website like you do. If you have any questions, just reach out to the website, and we'll, you know, take our time to try to help you go over whatever you're looking at.
Right. Well, that's an incredible thing to do for people. I mean, I know that, you know, I rarely meet people in this industry that you know, put their money where their mouth is. So I appreciate the camaraderie of meeting someone who does that, because I know that we do the best we can to do that also. As far as we work with a lot of addiction recovery, and that ties right into veterans issues. Because I'm in recovery. So that's something that's very important to me. So tell me a little bit, when you gave me these little bullet points for us to talk about, number four, I'm a failed hemp farm. Tell me why you want to talk about that in that way. I mean, explain what that means, because that's a deeply personal thing.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, so yeah, I did fail at hemp farming. We went from cannabis to hemp. We thought, you know, hemp would be easy from coming from cannabis.
Right.
And just, you know, there was a research project the university was doing 30 miles away, and their pollen affected my research. And we doubled down, and I tried to reach out to some other people to try to recoup some of our losses. Centered around vet. It was a patient drive in Florida that we were working on that didn't work out. And just, you know, hemp is a hard industry. It's a lot of fraud, a lot of people that just take COAs, and a lot of new farmers that just don't understand.
Right.
I
have this conversation all the time. We talk about it because I'm in all these groups from growing to retail to marketing to all the every aspect of the cannabis industry, and it's all too common to hear the words fraud, ripoff, scam artist, because everyone is new. I mean, there's a group over on the West Coast, you know, and those people have been doing it a while, but a lot of those people were in marijuana, and they were not, or cannabis, they were not in hemp. And so even those people are newer to the hemp side. And so everybody's new at it. And I know here in Alabama, you're talking about people who grow peanuts and soy and corn and cotton, and now they're transitioning into hemp, and that's a whole nother beast. And everyone's new. The state is new at regulating it. The consumer is new to the product. I mean, everyone's new. I've been doing this longer than anybody in the retail side in Alabama, and I haven't. I just had my third anniversary in my retail location, and I was doing it for about a year before that. So, you know, I've only been doing it since 17, and you know, and I know that I put a lot more effort than a lot of retailers into learning, but I will never catch up. It's so much, you know, and we're discovering new things every day. So let's talk about why we're really here. You know, we could talk about, there are a lot of things. There's corruption on every level, from people selling crap seeds, you know, and people like the gentleman whose name we will not say that you're going to discuss in a minute, ripping off other people's research and using it to scam other people all over the country. And there's people who are dummying up COAs. You know, I've been preaching for a long time, you know, look at the labs, telling my consumers, my customers, how to find the COAs and what to look for. And you know, I'm finding out more and more and more how many people are faking them. And that's scary. I mean, and then there's the people in the retail side who are, you know, I've had businesses here that say, oh, we're a THC-free business, and they're selling pre-rolled smokable flower, and they're going to get people put back in jail, and they're going to get people fired from their jobs. I mean, it's almost like it's harder to find someone who's honest and has integrity, and maybe if they screw something up, it's just sheer ignorance because we're all a little ignorant.
Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am.
So let's talk about what should we call him?
We can call him by his first name.
Okay, we can call his name is Kevin. Let's talk about Kevin. You tell us as simply as you can, because some of us, you know, aren't going to know the technical jargon. Tell us what Kevin has done.
I met Kevin a year and a half ago. We were out here looking for different farms to partner with because mm-hmm. he happened to be an Oklahoma resident. He had a speaking panel. Him and his buddy, you know, had me and a couple other people down for his speaking panel on hemp. And really nice guy, really likable. You know, he's got a wonderful story. He was on his deathbed. He got out of his deathbed and is up doing things for his nonprofit. And just perfect package. You know, he
Oscar worthy, huh?
Wanted to get into the cannabis space. You know, utilizing our genetics, helping vets get free licenses. And so we invested some money and, you know, hoping it would work. And it was January of last year when we were supposed to, all that was supposed to come to fruition.
Mm-hmm.
You know, got down there, completely threw this thing together. There was a whole bunch of veteran groups there, a whole bunch of vendors. And it was in a little retirement community in nowhere, Florida. It was just little old ladies that were around walking, doing their power walk, stopped in.
Right.
Me and my friends were the only ones that bought weed licenses. Through the course of all that, I'd given him my research for hemp. It was our pilot program research from the University of Kentucky and the University of Clemson about the different quantitative ways to amass seeds on a small scale, using greenhouse techniques, natural techniques, letting it go all the way to feminization on its own, colloidal silver, light depth. I mean, there's just a whole gambit of research we were hitting on.
Right.
And I passed that on to him, you know, thinking that a simple NDA was enough.
Right.
And after we found out that the patient drive was a sham, you know, he just kind of booked it. He just took off and left the buddies. You know, it was just a bad situation. He just scammed everybody out of town.
And
we just kind of, you know, biffed it and took off home. And then COVID hit. It just really derailed us as a hemp farm,
right?
And what we had going on,
right?
Him and his buddy, you know, in December of that year, I'd spent almost $70,000 on CBG genetics, 2 pounds of seed to give 1 pound away to vets for free. All they had to do was prove out and show me they were hemp farms, and I'd give them the seed. I mailed it to them at my cost.
Right.
I sold the rest of the seeds to my buddies and tried to make a couple bucks to cover it all, and it was a fail.
Okay, can I stop you there?
Ma'am?
Can I stop you there? We have to go to a commercial break. I don't want to lose the rest of the story. When we come back from the break, we'll pick up there with that part. And you can finish telling us, and then we'll go on from there, okay? Join us after the break. We're going to be with Zach from Oklahoma.
Welcome back to Sweet Home Cannabama. Now with all the information you want about CBD, here's your host, Jennifer Booser.
All right, welcome back, everybody. We're talking to Zach, who is a geneticist in Oklahoma. And we've been talking about, we're talking about fraud. Pick up where we left off, Zach. We're talking about Kevin and how he is using your research and he scammed you guys.
Well, you know, he did. He scammed us. You know, we took it for what it was and moved on.
Mm-hmm.
And then a year later, like a week ago, a week and a half ago, everybody started tagging me on Facebook posts of Kevin rocking around the East Coast looking for investors.
Oh, God.
So we circled back around to all my vet friends in Florida, and I was like, hey, what's going on? You know, this, that, and the third. And basically, through Facebook group, tracked him all the way through Florida, Alabama, Mississippi,
mm-hmm.
got all the way to the state level with the Department of Agriculture to expose Kevin and his group what they were doing.
Right, yeah, because he's been in Alabama, or he is in Alabama. That's what I think that's why somebody tagged me into this group.
Well, we were tagging everybody in Alabama, the shot callers. I don't know who tagged you, but I tagged
Marty from Al-Ramp and Alabama Cannabis Coalition, my friend Marty.
Well, I tagged Mr. Wagner as the processor, and he's into fiber. And basically, Kevin's taking my research and coming to you, the farmer, saying, hey, this is what I can do. Can we use your 300 acres if I can get the money from Phil? So
right.
They run to Phil going, hey, look, I got all this land. I got all these genetics from this Cherokee nonprofit. You know, we got money. If I pay her and pay the farmers up front for their labor, their time, their gas, and give the seed, at the end of the year, we'll do the split. Well, if you look at the fine print on the contract, if the farm doesn't produce at least what they were given, mm-hmm. the land goes up for collateral against the money.
Oh, wow.
And they're handing out B-grade research seed. It is fiber seed from the source in Italy, Mr. Scavi seed, but it is research-grade seed. You're never going to get true results based off the research that they're trying to do.
Well, and it's funny because I'm getting a little heated right now because in Alabama, you know, we've been out here. When I started, there was no one. I was on a podcast with a lady who's from Alabama and who is in New York and has a big podcast, and she's a psychiatrist, and she tells, like, Japan should grow hemp kind of thing. She's a big wig, and she told me, I'm always asking people, are y'all going to go down to Alabama? Are you going to help Alabama out? Nobody wanted to. So yeah, we're people are just assuming we're all stupid, I guess.
No, it's the pressures that Alabama's humidity presents to the finished product. The mold and micron counts are going to be just through the roof.
Right.
It's a really hard.
It's like bathwater down here. It really is.
Oh man, it would be.
And I'm down at the bottom. It is hot, and it is wet. It's like walking in bathwater this time of year.
Well, back to Kevin, his play was the fiber side.
Right.
I know a couple guys in fiber down there, so we started.
I do too.
Back and forth, and they were like, dude, we know this guy. He's talking to us.
Right.
Reached out to the Department of Ag, and they were like, you need to come with all the proof you have because we're about to issue these guys a permit to process in Alabama.
Right.
So we got that shut down for the most part. I don't know.
Wasn't he bragging on collecting like 60,000 acres of farm?
Yeah.
In Alabama?
Something ridiculous.
Yeah. No, I know. My friend from Oregon was like, right. Okay. Yeah. I've been talking to other people about this situation to be prepared for the show. But it happens all the time. It's rampant. This kind of thing.
A farmer that's looking for something better for his family.
Of course.
On the surface, this deal looks awesome. It's like, oh, we'll have money right of way. They're going to pay for the diesel. They're going to pay for the equipment. You know, it's
right.
A good deal.
It's a win-win.
But when the seed fails and the farm can't return at least the investment they were given, that 60,000 acres belongs to that group that Kevin's rolling with now.
Right, and then they bring in the real seeds.
No,
or
yeah,
or they sell your land and you're living in an apartment in the city now.
Who knows?
Wow. That disgusts me because I know that one of the things that excites me most about the prevalence of hemp farms in Alabama is that it's going to revitalize our farming communities. I mean, we're farmers here. You know, we got Delta soil, and I think they call it the Black Belt is because it's got that rich Delta soil, and we are farmers. And I have a lot of friends who are farmers. And now I want to call them all and be like, hey, have you ever heard of this guy? Don't do it. You know, I know fiber guys, and they're some of the coolest guys I've met in the industry. And hopefully, you know, they're going to do their due diligence. But it looks, I mean, basically these people are gambling on the fact that this guy is going to give them the best seeds because he wants to succeed. But he's really after their land, right? I mean, is that the moral of the story?
The
he's after their
That's
land.
The play.
Yeah.
It's a play. Mark Ford came to the table like last year trying to pull this out in the Dakotas, and those farmers were like, dude, you're crazy. This is, you know, this is absolutely what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And shot it down. And they were hanging around with that same group. They were trying to get us to do it. And, you know, we went from one farm to six farms in hemp in the first 2 years of hemp farming.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it looks like a good deal for a struggling farm. You know, it's a guaranteed upfront paycheck.
Right.
And no matter how hard you work, you know how good your soil is, it's C-grade research seed.
Right.
You're never going to get above that level.
Essentially, what they're actually getting is a really, really small down payment on the ruin of their life.
Yes.
They're getting this land for probably pennies on the dollar when they come to collect.
Yes.
And even if half the 60,000 acres is true, that's a lot of farmland.
Yes.
I mean, we're not that big a state.
Well, it's just first-year farmer mistakes, you know.
Of course.
Don't take the contract to your lawyer. Take it to another lawyer that has nothing to do with you or the other group and look at it biasly, and then take it to your lawyer and have it fixed.
Right.
That's another thing.
We don't have cannabis lawyers here.
Wow.
We have contract lawyers. I mean, the lawyer I was using is a contract lawyer, but he knows zero about cannabis. I don't farm, so it's really not that big a deal to me. But I know plenty of people who are going to need that, especially if this guy has already gotten people to sign contracts. I mean, what happens? We have to expose them. Is there an official crime committed here? I mean, where are we at with that?
Well, we went to the FBI about it, and the use of the nonprofit, the way they're using it, is completely a crime. And that's all I
right.
can say about it.
Right.
Talking farmers into making bad investments is not a crime.
Right, because the farmer's making a choice.
Yep.
Wow.
Choices didn't lead to success.
So it'll be like Al Capone. It's not the prostitution and the racketeering and the murder. It's the taxes.
The nonprofit.
Mm-hmm.
It's the taxes. It's where they're seat.
Wow. Don't mess with the IRS, y'all.
And it was more than just me. That face group pulled together. There's like 20 people that actually have like, hey, this is what's going on. Miss Kara has inner knowledge of the whole ordeal.
Right.
And this has been a state-to-state thing. So, my lawyers got it figured out and told us to reach out to the FBI. So I went and knocked on the door and, told them what I had as far as receipt and, other people's names that he could speak to about their problems. And
right.
That's where we left it.
Right. I'm sure the first question is, can you prove the research is yours?
Yes, the
innocent person has to do all the work.
Well, we have the research that went back and forth between the two universities. It was redlined. Like, we have multiple copies. I emailed you the finished copy.
Right.
But we have it from, day one, just what is this? So it's a finished product. It took 6 months with two
right.
universities.
And he can't prove that he, stage by stage created this. He just, boom, all of a sudden there's completed research on his laptop. That's obvious.
Well,
if they could ever catch up to him, I'm sure he's probably not easy to find.
I don't know. I mean, it wasn't hard for us to shut him down on Facebook. He brags about it all. It was
That's
like,
true.
Well, I'll call that county.
Well, but I bet he just learned a valuable lesson, though, because was anybody pursuing him before this?
I'll be honest with you, I was at one time when it first happened. But
mm-hmm. I'd be madder than a hornet.
Woo. I couldn't get him and his wife to get lined up for the shot. We were trying, I was going to kill them both with one shot to screw up the forensics while I took off to Oklahoma to take care of the other guy that started it all.
Wow. Okay. Whoa. So you mentioned something about having to give up your license. Tell me about that.
Oh, man. My partners are old school.
Thank you for sharing this with us, by the way. I don't know if anybody listening can appreciate just how personal this is when you put everything you have into something like this. And in my own way, I can appreciate that. So thank you for kind of being vulnerable with us. We appreciate it. We're trying to help these farmers, especially the ones, knowing he's been in Alabama recently and been speaking with the ag department and things like that. We need to expose this, so I appreciate that. But anyway, tell us about having to give up your license and why.
So when we talked to my partners about it, they're old school Cali guys that came out of the Redwood Forest. They're not into anybody with badge. Anything law enforcement, anything that's not has to do with inspecting my plants, go away.
Right.
And they said I should just keep my head down. Cannabis deserves what it gets from, it's an awful industry.
Right. It's its own worst enemy.
Mm-hmm. Peter and Paul have been robbed so many times that they think that's the industry standard for the next guy.
Mm-hmm.
I jumped out in front of it and went and knocked on the door and started an investigation on a federal level. And they didn't want to have anything to do with it. You know, right. So I could keep doing my research and keep working, but I had to give up my licenses that were tied to them.
Wow. Well, you know, I know that was a hard decision for you. I can tell by the sound of your voice. And yeah. Those licenses are so hard to come by.
It took me 2.5 years.
I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. The preparation, the money, God, the freaking paperwork, everything. Mm-hmm. I'm so sorry. But you are. I do believe you're doing the right thing. And I don't know if you believe in God, but I believe that God takes care of the ones that take care of others. And that's all you were trying to do. You were trying to do a good thing. And people suck. On the whole, I hate that, I say that more and more, and it disappoints me deeply. But I have such compassion for you. I'm so sorry, and okay. I just appreciate you being vulnerable with us like that, because my heart breaks for you. I would have done the same thing though. I have this insatiable need for things to be just, for things to be right. And I'm like a dog with a bone, and I would have probably done the same thing, because it's not okay. At the end of the day, at the end of the line where I'm at, there are patients and there are customers who are suffering. And what in the world, let me correct myself, what in the world are people doing playing with other people's lives on their livelihood, their work, and then the health of their customers? You know, I hear people diluting crude and getting products in and then diluting those and selling it at full price. I hear horror stories all the time on every level from this industry, and it disgusts me because I am dependent on everybody doing their job. We need to take another break. We'll be right back with Zach from Oklahoma, and we'll be right back. I'm sorry, Zach.
Welcome back to Sweet Home Canabama. Now with all the information you want about CBD, here's your host, Jennifer Boozer.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Jennifer Boozer, your host here at Sweet Home Canabama and owner of Canabama, the CBD store in downtown Mobile. You can find us on canabama.com. Let's get back to Zach. Zach, we left it I felt bad because, but I'm glad that you had a minute to compose yourself, because I know that was very emotional for you. So I want to finish up with what is happening now. And I would like to ask you, when you get done answering that, how other farmers that have come across Kevin, whether they're here in Alabama or listening from another state, or the word spreads. Hopefully this podcast version of this show will spread far and wide, and people will start to get wise. And we want to know how people can contact you to either give testimony, to strengthen the case, ask questions, or, anything that they can do. I don't know if there's a way they can be supportive of you. I'd certainly like to do that, if there's a way for me to do that. And to kind of keep this issue alive, because I know investigations. I've had to deal with an FBI investigation into one of my former employees who was extorting me. And after months, the Attorney General for the United States decided I did not meet the threshold, and no one would tell me what the threshold was. So, yeah, he's just getting away with felony on felony. That's another show. Tell us, what's been done, what is being done now? What can anyone who's, within the sound of our voices, what can they do if they have had dealings with Kevin, or are afraid they might have, or, were about to, so that they can, we can sort of get this consensus of information to the FBI?
So the easiest way for that is, like we did, through social media. Your social media platform, start a private group for anybody that knows Kevin.
Okay.
Anybody from, the Canacare, Florida, anything. He's been running around under Canacare.
Canacare.
Anybody that reaches out to you, start a private group with me, and I'll share the contact information to the agent. It's not really, I'm not here to help them any more than I have to. It's just,
Right.
I was the only person that had enough balls to step up there and knock on the door.
That's right. I am familiar with that feeling. I would like to offer that if you, because we're not using your name, so it'd be hard to find you on social media, and I respect that. But my name is Jennifer Isabel Boozer. You can look me up. I ain't scared. I don't care. Because I'm not directly related to this, but I'd love to be able to facilitate being a go-between. You can email. How about I'll use a different email? If you want to email me at BamaCBD, BamaCBD, at yahoo.com. That's a little used email that it won't get gunked up too much in my regular business emails. But BamaCBD at yahoo.com. If you would like to be connected with Zach, or contribute to, your testimony or ask questions, I will be the go-between so that we can sort of, keep a measure of distance between you if that's what you would prefer. And if nothing else, I can funnel you contact information that you can just give straight to the FBI. If anybody would like to do that, that's BamaCBD at yahoo.com. And that would be for me to connect you with Zach. Is there anything else, in the last few minutes of the show that you would like to discuss? Anything at all?
No, that's about it. We're mixing a couple strains for two rappers. I'm working on one for Lil Boozy's son and another rapper out of Tennessee, Ryan Upchurch.
Oh, yeah?
I don't know anything about it yet. We're still trying to stabilize both of them.
Mm-hmm.
But when recreational comes, there's individual reasons why I picked both of those to debut with. Ryan has the most, in-your-face F.U. attitude about the music industry, the
uh-huh.
same way I feel about cannabis. He's a vet. And Lil Boozy's son, there's a reason.
Yes.
So when it goes recreational, hopefully we can, by then link up and work together so they can drop their own cannabis line. Wiz Khalifa's got his own. Burner's got a couple.
Jay-Z has one.
Jay-Z, exactly. So any of the mm-hmm. artists that are interested in cannabis strains, I'd also be interested in talking to you what goes into creating your own unique genetics for when it does go recreational, if they can use their own platforms and their own fan base.
Right. Well, and that's a conversation you and I need to have at length afterwards, because I have a similar, I have a project I'd love to discuss, bounce off of you, that I've been working on for probably almost a year now. That's in that vein. And we've done a little bit to get it going, and we've worked with one already. So you are still working in the cannabis industry, right? You just don't have a grow license for hemp.
We gave up the hemp license. I gave up my transportation license in cannabis. We're still doing cultivation, with a vet group. They don't care that I keep fiddling. They just wanted to take the liability off the table until the investigation's done.
Right.
So as soon as it's all done, they'll give it back, no harm, no foul. And
okay.
Anything I need transported, I can call anybody in my network to help with.
Right. So you mean you have a transportation license? I've never heard of that.
Like a hemp handler's license for cannabis in the state of Oklahoma.
Okay.
As long as it goes from a legal farm to another legal establishment and has the paperwork, I can have it in the car.
Right. Okay, yeah. Ooh, I have it in my car right now. What's funny? I got pulled over by a state trooper, and he gave me a warning. I was speeding. I sure was speeding. And he pulled me over, and I have my logo on both the driver and passenger side door, and my license plate says Cannabama. I'm like, that wasn't very smart now, was it, Jen? But the state trooper actually gave me a warning and asked me if I'd be willing to educate the state trooper, the state troopers of Alabama. And I was like, well, heck yeah.
Absolutely.
Yes. And I've been talking with a city fire department, and I don't think I'm at liberty to say which one yet, but we're hoping to work with the city government to get products that the city employees, including firemen and things like that, can use with their job and drug testing, and make sure that they could pass a drug test and teach them products they can use.
I have one. I'll send you the link to it.
Okay.
Especially formulated for EMT and officers just for that reason.
That's very good, because that's the road I was about to go down. I've been talking to some different brands that I trust that I know their products. Yeah. I've sold their products. I've never had anybody, knock on this formica, I've never had anybody fail a drug test that did not know they were risking it by using a product that could fail. I've never had anybody use something that I told them was safe that failed. And I am very proud of that because I do my due diligence.
If you're concerned, you can buy the 2 to 4 ounces necessary for a full panel test and send it off to your state testing labs and validate.
Yes.
What you're going to be putting in your body is fully compliant, fee-free, pesticide, heavy metal-free.
Right.
A $300 test for a peace of mind.
That's right. And we do encourage our customers to drug test themselves, too, to be sure. Zach, that's all the time we have left. I want to say thank you for being so transparent and so vulnerable and getting this information out about Kevin. I think I got thrown into the group because he's in my state stomping around, and, well, we're just not going to have that. Hasn't met enough rednecks in his life.
I sent you the research.
Okay.
Share it with your group. Share it with your business page. Let everybody have it.
I will. Thank you so much.
Yes,
BamaCBD.com. If you want to get in touch with Kevin, we'll see you next week on Sweet Home Cannabama. Good night.